Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I confess, I did it, you see. That's my impression of a criminal from the 1940s. We confess a lot. Let us confess our sins to God our Father, says the pastor. We have a signed confession, would argue the DA. I must confess, I ate the whole carton of ice cream, says the dieter. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. You see, the church confesses a lot. We confess our sins, we confess our faith. We do this in private, we do it in public. We do it in the ways we choose to associate ourselves. We do it in ways that we choose to disassociate ourselves from other things and other people within our society. We confess in what we read, in what we watch, in what we say, in what we do, how we spend our time, who we spend our time with, by ourselves, before God, before each other. To confess means a thing. It means something. To speak the truth. To speak the truth and nothing but the truth. To tell it like it is. It is a derivation of Jesus' command unto us, let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. And let it stand in that fashion. There are no rose-colored glasses in confession. There's no soft edges, no excuses. It is either one thing or it is the other. It is either a truth or it is a lie. Standing before us this morning are three confessions in our New Testament lesson today. The first of which is Peter's confession of Jesus. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That confession is responded by another confession, this time of Jesus. This is Jesus' confession of Peter. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. The confession of Peter speaks the truth about Jesus. The confession of Jesus speaks the truth about Peter. But Peter's confession of Christ, and by Christ's confession of Peter, Jesus also confesses you and me. He confesses us to be the truth and claims us as his own. Truthfully saying, we are the children of the Heavenly Father. Jesus is in his second public year of ministry. Now, there's been a lot of talk in and around the area of Galilee about this new rabbi named Jesus. So one day, Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And some of them say, well, some people think that you're John the Baptist come back from the dead. Other people think you're Elijah. Other people think that you're maybe Jeremiah or one of the other prophets of old. Maybe they said that maybe you're a prophet of some sort of a newfangled part, or a new prophet being sent. All of these answers are the same, really. Prophet. People think you to be a prophet. All the prophets were sent by God in some way to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. Then Jesus, with a slight change of the question, gets to the heart of the issue. He asks his disciples, but who do you say that I am? Now, Peter may not know a lot, but by this time he knows Peter is significantly more than just some average run-of-the-mill prophet. Jesus is not preparing the way for anyone else. That was the role of a prophet, to prepare the way. This is what John was doing, preparing the way for the Son of Man. Jesus is not preparing the way for anybody. He is the way. Jesus is the messianic way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And Peter states so much, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed the Son to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Peter's confession of the truth is only possible because it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit of God. Peter didn't come up with this on his own. Therefore, 1 Corinthians, Paul says, therefore I want you to understand this, that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says Jesus accursed. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Peter has confessed the Christ. And now the Christ confesses Peter. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Jesus engages in a little bit of small wordplay here. The word Peter is translation of the Greek word Petros, and the word rock is a translation of the Greek word Petra. You are the Petra, and upon this Petra, or you are Petros, and upon this Petra, I will build my church. These words, Petros and Petra, have almost the same meaning. They are so closely related, but they are different words. In this confession, Jesus, the Messiah, is confessing that he builds his church upon the confession of Jesus Christ. A very long time ago, Islam tried to absorb Christianity into its faith system. There were many fatwas, hundreds of fatwas, stating that Jesus was the greatest prophet of all time. At least the greatest prophet of his time, they had to later amend. For thousands of Middle Eastern martyrs, the greatest prophet was not enough. Jesus was greater than a prophet. He wasn't just one of the prophets sent by God. He is different. He is above all. He is without peer. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We also note in the confession of Jesus, who is the builder of this church, the builder of the church is not Peter. It's not Peter. It's not the disciples. It's not you. It's not me. It's not the clergy. It's not the laity. Certainly not all of the clergy. It's not the buildings. It's not the colleges. You are Peter. And upon this rock, I, Jesus, I will build my church. It is Christ's church. It is Christ's foundation. It is Christ's building. He does the work, we do not. Because he is the one who calls us into faith. He is the one who assembles us into a congregation. Jesus continues speaking to Peter, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Not now, not yet, but I will. I am going to. I have plans for giving you the keys to this kingdom that I am going to build. That actually happens after the resurrection. Jesus is resurrected. He assembles his disciples together. He breathes upon them. He gives them his Holy Spirit along with further instructions. And we'll deal with that the Sundays after Easter. Oh, dear people of God, hear this confession of Peter. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now hear the confession of Christ. Blessed are you. These words seem a little bit out of order, to tell you the truth. Generally, when we talk about the blessings, you hear people say, well, I'm very blessed. It seems like these words are spoken. Usually in English, you start with the noun and then you go on to the verb. Jesus does this on purpose. He's talking about which words are more important. Blessed are you. You are blessed. These words are spoken in order of importance. Blessed is of the first rank. You are of the second rank. You are a recipient of the action of God. It is God who does the blessing, and he applies that blessing unto you. Blessed are you, for you've been claimed by God. You've been confessed by God himself. Blessed are you on this holy day. Your first blessing is to hear the great power of Jesus in this church that he has, that not even the gates of hell can withstand the power of our God. So no matter what life brings upon you, no matter what's going on in the world around you, no matter what difficulties you encounter, no matter what hardship assails you, you should know that the Lord God, Jesus Christ, is on your side. And because Christ is the very Son of God, he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He sits there and he exercises the authority of the office of the Son of God, and he does so on behalf of you. Blessed are you. He is the rock upon which the church is built. He is the strength in which our days are endured. He is the power that drives forth from this place. Christ has broken down the gates of hell. He's blown them right off of his hinges. He's invaded the temple of Satan. He's stormed the castle, defeated the powers. He's broken the bows. He's bent the swords. Christ, having risen from the dead, conquers Satan's and all of his minions. Blessed are you. Blessed are you because Christ confesses you before his Father in heaven. He knows your name. He brings you up. Blessed are you as the waters of baptism rush over you and cleanse you from all of your sin. Blessed are you as you live each and every day in that forgiveness and that hope. Blessed are you when in a few moments you'll approach the altar of the Lord God to receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ himself given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. You will receive the body and blood of the living God. Blessed are you. Dear redeemed people of God, confess with Peter that which has been revealed to you by the Holy Spirit of God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And hear these words of truth. Blessed are you, children of the Heavenly Father. For this was not revealed to you by man, but it was a gift given to you by God the Father Almighty through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Blessed are you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.